Our gracious Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for another day of life that you have given us, Father. I pray that today, as every day that we woke up praising your name, glorifying our Savior for our salvation, for our life, for our breath, for our families, for the food that we had today, Lord, just you are so kind to us in every single way, Lord. So I pray that as we arise every day that we would glorify you, that we would praise your name, that we would shine our lights so that you are glorified through our lives, Father. We pray tonight for those who are gone, who are traveling, Lord, that you would keep them safe, that you would watch over them, let them have a great time with their enjoying each other's families, Lord. And we pray tonight, Lord, as we look into your word, that it would help us to understand you, help us to know you more, help us to understand what your word is saying, not only to the people here, but to us, and how we ought to live our lives before you, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right, so verses 9 and 10 tonight, but let's start reading in verse 1. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Okay, so last week we were talking about the young men, how they are to be sober-minded in all things, that they are consistently to have a pattern of good works, that they show integrity and reverence and incorruptibility in the doctrine, in the Word of God, that they have sound speech, that their words are edifying and not condemning, but always building up, and that those who are opposed to the Word of God, those who are opposed to Christians, will be ashamed because they'll have nothing evil to say of these young men. Tonight, then, we move on to bondservants. So let's read verse 9 again. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. Now, a bondservant was a slave. They were one who was in a relation of servitude to another. Okay, and so these were bondservants were usually the lowliest or lowliest servants. So what these people are is they're actually slaves, okay? And so he's saying, remember, this is a letter to who? Who is this a letter to? Titus, okay, concerning the, and he's going to be teaching the new believers in Crete, right? Okay, so he had exhorted the older women, the younger women, the older men, the younger men. Now he's moving on to the slaves. So he says, Titus, exhort the slaves, exhort the bondservants to be obedient to their own masters. So specifically, if you were a slave and you were a slave and I were a slave, Titus would be exhorting us to be obedient to my master and to your master. So all of us, all of these slaves here, were to be obedient to their own masters. Now the Greek word is hupotasso. It's the same word of women be obedient to their husbands, or in Romans when it says, subject yourself to all authority. That's the same word, hupotasso, and it means to subject oneself. place oneself in submission to somebody. And so bondservants, these slaves then, were to subject themselves. They were to submit themselves to their own masters. Now, this here is also a lesson for us, because even though this is regarding a slave and master relationship, the same thing we read in Colossians and Ephesians, it also can relate to a working relationship. And so if we have jobs, we can relate it in principle to our boss. I'm the servant when I go to work. I'm there to submit to my boss. I'm there to serve him and be obedient and respectful to him. So this is something that can also, we can learn in principle about when we go to work, or when you do your chores at home. You have your mom and your dad, guess what? They're your boss. They tell you what to do, and you are to submit. You are to hupotasso to them, to place yourself under their submission. So the danger then here is that some of these slaves were also converted. When Paul came and preached the gospel, God saved many people here, including some of the slaves. And so the danger was that now these slaves are Christians, and they have a whole new set of beliefs and commands that they are following. So the danger is that, hey, you know what? I've got a new Savior now. I don't have to listen to you anymore. I obey God. And I'm free now. I don't have to obey you anymore. And so the danger would be they would be disrespectful, not obedient. And so Paul telling Titus that, hey, we don't want this to happen here. Even more so now, they need to be submissive and obedient, and even work harder so that they can glorify their Savior. Ephesians 6:5 says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh." In other words, according to the flesh, you obey what they tell you to do, whatever orders. Whatever orders they give you, you obey. Obviously, the exception if they're telling you to go sin. Okay? So, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. So the same way that the wife submits to her husband as unto the Lord, the slave submits to his master as unto the Lord. He's doing it because he wants to please his Savior first and foremost. Because God has told him, look, obey your master. No ifs, ands, or buts. And so when we go to work, when our parents do something, we obey. We don't grumble or we complain. If we do, it's sin. And yes, maybe we're all guilty of that sometimes, and we better repent and confess our sins to God. Because when we grumble and complain and cause an uproar when our boss has told us to do something, and if we're making kind of dissensions among the other workers, we're in sin. We are to be submissive to our masters, to our bosses, okay? And specifically the slaves to their masters. And so they were to respect them, to obey them with all fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Because Christ knows all. He even knows the motives of their heart. Colossians 3:22 says, again, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." Again, meaning whatever task he gives you, you complete it. You do it. And you do it 110%. Whatever it was, washing the pots, taking care of the cow poop or whatever, you obeyed your master. Okay, and then Paul in Colossians adds this. So he says, "Obey your master in all things according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but again, in sincerity of heart, fearing God." So he's saying here, look, you don't just work hard when your masters are around and they can see you. You work hard even when they're off somewhere else, because God sees you, and He is the one you are to fear. Fear God. Do it to as unto the Lord. So you work hard all the time when your master's there to see you and when he's gone. And that's the point here. Even for us who have jobs or for when you have chores at home, you work hard all the time. When your boss is there with you and when he's not there. When your parents tell you to do chores and then they go off to grocery shopping, what should you do? Go play Nintendo? Should you go mess around and talk on the phone? And then they come back and they have to tell you 10 more times to do it? No, you do it right away without grumbling, without complaining, because they are your authority. They are your boss. And so you do it as unto the Lord. You do it and you glorify God. Hey, and then it causes a whole lot less stress in the home, doesn't it? Mom and dad don't have to come home, see you didn't do your chores, and they got to get on to you. Then you're grounded from your cell phone, and all because you didn't want to do your chores. Or you couldn't go out to Golden Pride. But the point is, do it right away. Do it right away. Glorify God in all that you do. And so that was the message here, the exhortation for the slaves here. Slaves, you new Christians, you be obedient to your masters. You be respectful to them. You listen to them. And when they're away, off doing something, you work hard. You finish the task that they gave you to do. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. So he's saying here, all of you who are bondservants, all of you who are slaves, count their own master worthy of honor. In other words, you show them respect. You honor your master. And how do you honor your masters? How do you honor your boss? How do you honor your parents? By submitting to them. By being respectful to them. That's how you honor them. That's how you obey them. And thus, that's how you glorify God. And when you do so, the word of God is not blasphemed. We've learned that for women, for the men, that when they do the things that they ought, the word of God is not blasphemed. Why? Because people are always watching. For the wives, the Christian young women, when they obey their husband, when they're respectful, and they live up to these things, their friends see them. And they glorify God. But when they see their friends not being respectful to the husbands and not doing such things, hey, the word of God is blasphemed. Because they claim to be Christians and yet they do opposite. And the same thing for the young men. Old women and the old men also. And the same thing for the slaves. When they claim to be Christians, yet, and then they don't obey their masters, they're not being respectful, the word of God is blasphemed. Because they're making God a liar by saying that they're Christ-like and that they're not even submissive to their own masters. 1 Peter 2:18 says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." So here Peter takes it even another step. He says, look, you slaves, you servants, You be respectful, you be obedient to your masters, but not only to the gentle ones, to the kind ones, but to the ones who are harsh, to the ones who are rude and they're always talking down on you. You still be obedient to them. And you still be respectful to them. Why are you doing it? You're doing it unto the Lord. And so exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things. That is, that in all of their duties, they would work unto the Lord. They would work as hard as they can. They would be respectful and finish the task. They would be honest people, honest slaves, not taking any profit, not stealing anything. And they would give all that they have to their masters, thus being well-pleasing. They wanted to be well-pleasing. And so Titus has a job to tell them, look, yes, it's not easy being a slave, but nevertheless, this is what you are. Okay? And it's because you're a Christian, obey your masters. Honor them. Be respectful to them. And be pleasing. Be pleasing in their sight. Let them see what you do and glorify God. Exception is, of course, when they are asked to do something that goes against the Word of God, that goes against His commandments. Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary says, to please them well, that is to give satisfaction, to be complacent in everything, to have the zealous desire to gain the master's goodwill. To gain the master's goodwill, which will anticipate the master's wish to do even more than is required. The reason for the frequent recurrence of injunctions to slaves, as we've read in Ephesians, Colossians, Timothy, Peter, was that in no rank was there more danger of the doctrine of the spiritual equality and freedom of Christians being misunderstood than that of slaves. It was natural for the slave who had become a Christian to forget his place, that he's a slave, and put himself on a social level with his master. So there was much danger for the slaves that when they become Christians, they would forget their place. And then all of a sudden they would have this new faith and then not be respectful anymore, not being obedient anymore. They saw themselves, hey, I'm a Christian. Socially, I'm on the same level as my master. And so that was a very dangerous place. And so that's why we have so many exhortations of Paul and Peter addressing this to slaves. Hey, let's not forget our place. Yes, you're a child of God now, and that's an honor, but you're still a slave, and you still should be obedient. You should still be respectful. And this is why he charges Titus to exhort the slaves to be obedient to their own masters, especially the new converts. 1 Corinthians 7:20-21a says, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. In other words, what does this mean? It says, when you were called, when you were converted, when you became a Christian. So he's saying here, let each one of you remain in the same calling. So if one became a Christian while he was a slave, he was to remain a slave in his new calling. While he became a Christian, while God saved him, he's still to be a slave. Remain in the same calling in which he was called. Back to the verse now, not answering back. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. Not answering back. This is not crossing or contradicting what they are commanded. Not saucily replying when they are reproved. So, especially if they had a harsh master. One who was kind of rude and condemning and always spoke harshly to their slaves, treating them ill will as a slave. Because in a lot of times when one had a slave, especially if they were Christian owners, Christian masters, the slaves were like part of the family. They had a place to stay. They were fed. They were taken care of. And like I said, they were viewed as a family member. They were, you know, well taken care of, though a slave. And so he's saying here, especially for the masters who are not Christians and are going to treat you harshly, you are to not answer back. You are to not be disrespectful. And so when they told you to do something, you didn't answer back. You weren't disrespectful, but you were obedient in your words. You were submissive in your words. Even if they were jumping all over their case, maybe even cussing at them, they were to take it. Receive it and be obedient. Not answering back. Not talking back. And so here again is the principle that we can learn for the boss-worker relation. When the boss gives an order and tells you to do something, the worker is not to answer back. Not to be disrespectful, but in all respect, in all humility, fulfill it. Obey it. Not cause the boss grief. Same thing with the parents. When they tell you to do something, you do it. When they jump your case for something, you receive it, especially if you deserved it. Don't argue back. Don't talk back. When you do so, you're being disrespectful. But when you receive it, when you take it, when you say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry, you're glorifying God. Because you're being respectful and you're not answering back. So exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, and not answering back. Verse 10 then. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, pilfering means to embezzle or keep back something which belongs to another dishonestly or deceitfully. So, in other words, sometimes the bondservant's task was to be take something from the masters and go sell it in the market square and bring the profits back. Sometimes that was their task. And so, being a slave, having a whole lot less money, a lot of the times, there was the temptation to keep a little bit part of the profit for themselves, tuck it away in their pocket. So here, master, here was what you got. And so he's saying here, hey, do not embezzle. Do not keep something back that is not yours. Do not be dishonest when it comes to fulfilling the task, the duties to your master. Turn real quick to Acts chapter 5. And we're going to see an example, a little bit, of what he's talking about, because it comes from the same Greek word here that we find in Acts. Acts chapter 5. And many of you have probably heard this story before. We're going to learn about a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. Okay, Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 1, we'll read through verse 10. Keeping in mind that we're learning about what does it mean to be pilfering? What does it mean to hold something back deceitfully or dishonestly? But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. What does that mean? He died. He was toast. Fell down and breathed his last. Who gives us our next breath? So what happened to this guy? He did not get another breath from God, did he? Who did he lie to? He didn't lie to men, but he lied to God. Guess what? He breathed his last. Okay? Continuing on. He breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Can you imagine the scene here? Of the husband, Ananias. He lies about how much he made. Because what they were doing is they were to sell a part of the property and give it to the apostles so the apostles could dispense to the needs of the people. And so this man and wife came up with a scheme. They were going to be pilfering. They were going to be dishonest. They were going to embezzle. So they were going to sell part of their land and hold part of it back, not giving all. But who knows all things? God, doesn't He? God knows all things. When your parents tell you to do something, you better do it right. And 110%. You don't just shove all your clothes under the bed and hide them. Or pick up dog poop and throw it in your neighbor's yard. Right? Ben, come on. Just kidding. No, we work hard. And we be honest because God knows all. And He sees all. So imagine this. Ananias comes in and he's busted. He is caught. And Peter tells him, look, you have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. And he drops and he dies. They take him off and bury him. Later on, 3 hours later, the wife comes in. She thinks, hey, she doesn't know what's happened. She doesn't know that her husband is dead now. Her husband is dead because of what they have done. Because of what they have conceived in their hearts, trying to be dishonest and hold back a portion of the funds. Okay? And so she comes in and she just flat out lies too. Peter says, so tell me, did you make a profit? Did you get this amount for your land? And she says, yes, yes, that's the amount we got. Just flat out lying. And he says, do you not know that the Spirit of the Lord knows all things? Do you not know that the feet who carried away your husband are at the door to carry you away? Imagine that. You almost picture it in your head. You know, you kind of see a little door where there's a little gap underneath it, and you see the shadow of the feet there, you know? Imagine her just looking back and seeing the feet. Knowing she's about to drop dead. And she's looking at the feet of the people who are going to take her away. All because she was dishonest. And her husband. And they held back. They were pilfering. This is exactly what Titus and Paul are talking about to the slaves. Because this was a great temptation for the slaves. Slaves didn't have a whole lot, especially if their masters were not Christians. Then they were treated harshly. They weren't treated like family. Weren't fed that well. They probably lived in the dumpy shack that leaked when it rained and it smelled like the pigs. And, you know, their beds were made out of wood. And that's all. There was no kind of cushioning or anything like that. So it was a hard life. And so Titus is going to exhort them to look, when you are treated this way, accept it and glorify God. Obey your masters. Do not answer back. Be pleasing to your masters, even though you're treated harshly. God knows you're being treated harshly, but God knows your heart. And because you're a new Christian, because you're a child of God, obey your masters and be pleasing to them. And don't be dishonest. But glorify God through your being submissive to your masters. Even though it's a hard life, trust me, your reward will come. This is what he's exhorting to these slaves. This is what he's telling them. Encouraging them. Yes, I know it's hard. I know you're being treated unfair. But glorify God by being respectful and obedient and work hard and do not steal. Do not pilfer. Do not go and sell a possession or whatever and then not bring back all the funds to your master. Don't hide any in your back pocket. You give all the funds to your master. But showing good, back in Titus now, turn back. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity. This is good faith. Faithfulness, sincerity. Faithfulness in duty, which will secure the master's confidence, especially in holding to his doctrine, which has made the slave a new creation. So now this person finds himself a Christian. Paul has come and preached the gospel. God has saved this person. He's a slave. And so he's a new person. And he's being preached the word of God now by Titus and to whoever Titus was going to ordain. And so they were to take the word of God and cling to it and receive it. And now as a slave, to live it. To be obedient to the word of God. And so they were to have faithfulness in their doctrine. To have a sincerity of heart in what they were being taught. And when they were being taught, they would go back to their masters and live it. Now seeing that the masters could see their heart, could see a change in them and say, you know what? I see that you are sincere to your God. I see that you are faithful to what you are being taught. And I have a confidence now in your word, in your Bible. I have a confidence in your God because I've seen the change that's taken place in you. It's a great witness that this slave has shown to his master simply by being obedient to what he was being taught. And he was being taught, obey your masters. Obey. Hupotasso, submit to your masters. Be pleasing to them. Don't answer back to them. But be respectful. Work hard. And so the master sees this. Speaking of the unsaved, the non-Christian ones. They see this. They see how you're different. They see how you don't talk back anymore. They see you working harder ever than you have ever before. They notice that they're not missing funds all of a sudden. And they become confident in your God and in their teachings. The slave, in essence, is in essence persuading through his actions and words is what he's doing. He is persuading the master through his actions. Right? So what a great example that these slaves were being for their unsaved masters. And so again, back to the boss-worker principle that we can learn. We are a great example when we have an unsaved, a non-Christian boss. That's maybe rude sometimes, and it's an opportunity for us to shine our light and to persuade them through our actions at work. What about at home? How do we persuade our parents? How do we persuade our siblings? Well, same thing, by being obedient, by being submissive, and doing what they told us to do immediately, right away. Being a good example to your other siblings. And being a good example if possibly one of your parents is not a Christian. And this is exactly what these slaves were doing. They were persuading their masters by their actions, by simply being obedient and being respectful. To make it, the doctrine, the word of God, attractive. That's what it means to persuade. To make something attractive. To make the word of God attractive. That was the task of the bondservants, to make this attractive. And that is our task too as Christians, as believers, as children of God, to make this attractive, to make Christ attractive. They'll either see Christ in us or they won't see Him at all. Because Christ is not physically here anymore. He's not incarnate right now as He was 2,000 years ago. He's not walking around here like He was. And so they need to see Christ in us. We need to make Him look attractive. work, at home, for these slaves. Mark 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When these slaves worked hard, when they were obedient, when they were not answering back, when they were not stealing, the master would see their good works and glorify God. Philippians 2:15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you may shine your lights in this world. Great things for these slaves to learn. And so this would do great work. This would be a great light for the masters, for those who were in charge. How do we shine our lights? Do we make Christ attractive? Do we make the Word of God attractive? Do we tell people we're Christians and then we go and live otherwise? Thus, people say, what do I want? I don't want anything to do with their God. I don't want anything to do with their church. I don't want anything to do with their Bible. Look how they live. They claim to be a Christian, but look how they're disrespectful to their teachers. Look how they don't even obey their parents. Their mom has to tell them to take out the trash 15 times and argue with them about it. Or their boss always has problems with him. He's always disrespectful or causing dissensions. That's not making anything attractive, is it? Not at all. To make it attractive is to adorn it. That they may adorn the doctrine of God. When the slave was not pilfering, when the slave was obedient, when the slave was well-pleasing, they may adorn the doctrine of God. The master would adorn the doctrine of God. This is the same word we're talking about adorning women, not adorning themselves. So they would come to church and have little tinkling bells that would draw attraction. So do not adorn the selves, but the inward person. So, but here, the slave was to adorn themselves with the Word of God. Does that make sense? The slave, and as all of us, we should adorn ourselves with the Word of God to make it attractive. It should stand out that we are different. It should have stood out that these slaves were different. And so now the master would notice the change. You know what? You're different. You're not like these other slaves who are always fooling around or not working hard. They're stealing from me. And I know they are. But you're different. What is it about you? You used to be like these slaves. But I've noticed something different about you. What is it? You have become pleasing to me. Now I trust you. Now I have confidence in you. That's what these slaves were to do. And do it to the glory of God. And so that is what we are to do. Yes, we're not slaves as these ones were. But we do have people who have authority over us, don't we? All of us do. Parents, teachers, right? The mayors, the police. They have authority over us. They're our boss. And specifically our boss at work when you're older and get jobs. Some of you might have jobs already, but they're our authority. And so we are to submit to them. Hupotasso. We are to place ourselves under their authority, under their leadership. We are not to answer back. We are to be respectful. We are to not steal. We are to not do things dishonestly. I remember one time I'll share a sin that I did when I worked. I worked at Sbarro's once in Coronado Mall. This is many years ago when it first opened. And so one night we're working, it's kind of slow, and I'm getting a little hungry, you know, and it's not my break time, so I can't eat yet, but my stomach's growling, you know. Boy, that meatball surely does look good. They won't miss one meatball. And they were big meatballs, too. Those, they're really good. And so I took one, and I munched it. And I got caught. I was dishonest. I pilfered, if that's the right word to say that. I was dishonest. I was not a good worker. I took advantage. And so I paid. The right thing to do was then pay for it. Pay the price for the, even though later on, if I would have waited, I would have got it at 20% off. But because I couldn't be patient, because I was dishonest, I didn't do the right thing, and I didn't glorify God. I didn't make Him look attractive. And so these masters would see a difference in their slaves. They would notice that they were not stealing anymore. They would notice that they're not answering back anymore. They would notice that they were working harder than ever before. And they would glorify God. And so even these slaves can be an example to us as we are to be obedient to all those who have authority over us and tell us to do things. So next time your teacher, your boss, your parent has told you to do something, has given you a list of chores, you remember these slaves. You remember these bondservants on how they were to shine their light, on how they were obedient. And so the same thing can apply to us. We can remember when Titus was to exhort these slaves. We can remember the words, obey your masters, obey your bosses, and obey your parents. Remember these words next time someone tells you to do something. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask, Lord, that You would forgive us of our sins. For all of us has in our sinful nature, a rebellious attitude, wanting to not be respectful and not submit. It's in our sinful nature to want to rise up and not be obedient and not be respectful, to not submit. But as Christians, this is what we are called to do. To be submissive people. To submit ourselves to any authority. And forgive us, O God, when we have not been submissive. Forgive us when we were disrespectful to the teachers. Forgive us when we were disrespectful to our parents. Forgive us when we were disrespectful to a boss. Lord, and let us truly mean it. Let us grieve over this sin. And let us remember the words of Paul here in Titus when he told Titus to exhort these slaves to be obedient. Let us remember those words. And let us apply it in our own lives. Let us be obedient to our parents. Let us be obedient to our teachers and to our bosses and to anyone who has authority over us. Let us be well-pleasing to them. Let them have confidence knowing that, hey, we will be obedient. We will do whatever has been asked of us. And we will not complain. We will not talk back because we do it unto God. We do it unto the Lord. God, let us adorn our doctrine. Let us adorn the doctrine of God. Let us adorn Your precious word. And thus, when we do so, we glorify you and we shine our light. They see Christ in us. So forgive us, we plead with you, God, for when we have fallen short in this area. Let us remember these new Christian slaves, and let us remember how they were an example to be obedient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.